ABC's word wizard, the Lord of Language, Professor Rolly Sussex with A Word in Your Ear.
The dulcet tones of 612 ABC Brisbane station reporter Kenji Sato there. A fitting voice, I think, Rolly, to do your lead-in.
Very smooth.
Very smoothly recorded, wasn't it?
Lovely.
Now, I want to get him to do Earl of the Erudite, Prince of Pronunciation, Viscount of the Vernacular and Lord of Language. Welcome,
thank you.
Professor Sussex.
I might have a go at rewriting that one day.
You're going to have a, I was going to ask you if you approved of that.
Of course
spiel.
I approve of it. Yeah. But it's a very nice that they want to say those things.
Oh, do you want to reduce it?
Maybe rejig it ever so slightly. I don't mind having a go at myself, so I'll see if I can.
A bit of self-deprecation never goes astray. We'll have to get management approval, though. Gee, Rolly, that's a big call.
I'll do a position paper on it.
Now, we're going to start tonight because you, being the academic that you are, the man that you are, no question is left unanswered in some way, shape or form. And a couple of weeks ago, a subject came up, nothing random about it other than the definition, it would seem, around the word stochastic, not one that comes up every day, but I believe you have circled back 2 weeks later with some more information.
It's S-T-O-C-H-A-S-T-I-C, stochastic, comes from Greek, and it means that if it's done in statistics, studied, it's probably got a random distribution. In other words, you're not going to get a nice, clean statistical answer, and it, in fact, is often used as a more or less a synonym for random. It comes from a Greek verb which means to guess.
Okay.
So that tells you that you're not with a stochastic thing, you're not going to get a nice clear answer telling you A or B.
Okay. Not a statistical certainty, so to speak.
It's anything but.
Okay.
Random.
Random.
Or roughly random, yes.
Well, like after eight tonight, we'll call it a stochastic hour of radio coming your way.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Very classy.
Okay. Yeah, so we're incorporating here. Now, Rolly Sussex with you. We know, of course, tomorrow is Remembrance Day. We're talking about Lawrence Binyon tonight, His best-known work, without any question, is For the Fallen, written just weeks after the outbreak of the First World War. And I suppose, speaking of some of the vivid language in it, Lawrence was sitting on a clifftop looking out to the sea over the dramatic scenery of the North Cornish coastline. The lines within this poem, Rolly, are so close to the heart of the nation's Anzac identity. Case in point, they shall not grow old as we are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. And it is, I believe, this last line, you're keen to discuss.
And that particular word, indeed. Because there are quite a few people who are persuaded that it's not condemn with a D, but contemn with a T.
Okay.
And now the word contemn, meaning to treat with contempt, contempt is this related, is not very common at all. But it would almost fit in here. But I did actually go to the first edition of this in the library and had a look. And Binyon would have been able to check the proofs when they went to print. And he actually did write condemn.
Okay.
With a D. So what you said was right. Nor the years condemn at the growing down of the sun, at the going down of the sun, and in the morning we will remember them. It's very, very beautifully written.
Yeah, it really is. Mm. Yeah, it really is. Those words live on. They most certainly do. And it's an important clarification, I think.
After, I think so,
111 years.
Yes, well, contemn, it would not be too far different in some ways, but he did actually write condemn. And he meant that the years would not express disapproval about you. In other words, the years aren't going to bring you down, as it were.
Okay, as opposed to the T,
yes,
which would be...
Well, T is more treating with contempt, and that's, they do overlap a bit.
Yeah,
you can see
how
the view came up, particularly in Australia, by the way,
yeah,
that it is contemn rather than condemn.
Interesting.
But it is, what you said, it is condemn.
Yep.
And this is going from the first edition straight from the horse's mouth, so there you go.
Okay, so basically nothing can tarnish the legacy. Nothing.
That's right.
Okay. Explained brilliantly by Rolly Sussex, Emeritus Professor from the School of Languages and Cultures at the University of Queensland, your guest tonight on 612 ABC Brisbane and Queensland. My name's Joel Spreadborough. Now, I've got a sport question coming for you later because I know you've got there's words, then there's AFL. Okay, so just a tiny little bit of a chat.
And sometimes they overlap.
Every now and then.
Particularly with Kelly.
I love that the words, it's like AFL, is three letters to name the sport. It's right in your wheelhouse.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So many reasons.
Yeah.
Before that, I received this one a little bit earlier. Now, it's a good question. I think from Max. A good evening to Max, who sent this through. Max in Brisbane. And it springs to mind some of those turns of phrase, I suppose, some of those expressions that parents or loved ones might have had when you were younger. Now, Max says, my amazing mother-in-law, born in 1932, used to call an untouched piece of cutlery left on the table after a meal a sunbeam and therefore put it back in the drawer. I cannot find where that comes from, the idea of calling clean, unused cutlery a sunbeam. Please help if you can. I'm going to very much assume that the help if you can is directed at you, Rolly. So I'm going to turn the mic off and throw over to you about sunbeam.
Well, it's an Australianism, according to all the records, and there aren't many. It does exist in the Collins Dictionary, and it's been recorded in the History of Australian Words, which was a book that came out in 2010 or so. So it's got a bit of a pedigree. But it's not known apparently outside Australia, which makes me think it may well be known in New Zealand. There are a lot of phrases we share with them. Although I was reminded of a New Zealandism the other day. If you're feeling very cheerful, you describe yourself as a box of birds.
A box of birds?
A box of birds.
Chirpy?
Chirpy, yeah.
Okay.
And so that's a New Zealandism that hasn't taken root here. But the sunbeam, it's rather nice, actually, because it's something which brings a little glow of hope into your life. You don't have to wash that one, and you can put it back in the drawer. And by the way, it's not only cutlery, it's also crockery.
Okay.
Anything that's left on the table that's clean and unsullied, you can put it away for use again without having to put it through the dishwasher or the manual washing.
Right. I'm wondering, without, you know, obviously not advertising in any way, but the brand of appliances named Sunbeam, if there's any sort of derivation.
I have
there.
Somewhere at home one of those old green Sunbeam Mixmasters.
Yeah.
And they weighed a ton, but they kept on going. And if I can find this one, I'm sure that it's still running.
It's very interesting that you say that. Forgive my pause there. I was just grabbing a drink of water and I underestimated how long it would take me to get back, but I'm back. I love that you're saying that because that particular product you named there, that came up recently in a bit of a chat around stuff that was built to last, stuff that wasn't built to have to then be fixed within 1 or 2 years. The Mixmaster was an absolute.
It had I don't know if it was cast iron or cast something. It weighed a lot. But it just, and it didn't do too many exotic things that these machines can do nowadays.
Yeah.
But it just kept on doing its thing. I've even got an attachment which grinds meat. And, you know, it is a very, very good mincing device.
Yeah, okay. So what can't it do?
Well, I don't know. But those things, it's one. I have pleasure in machinery which was designed to do something and continues to do it and refuses to give up.
I love it when it actually does what it says it's supposed to do.
And it does.
I want to bring your attention to Luke from New Farm. It's 20 minutes past 7, 612 ABC Brisbane in Queensland. A word in your ear with Rolly Sussex at the moment. Now, we've got this one here from Luke. Good evening, Rolly. I've always wondered where the word loo comes from, and I thought the context of the toilet, the bathroom, the lavatory, I just want to read the second part of Luke's text. Luke says, good evening, Rolly. Always wondered where the word loo comes from. Hoping you can help me wipe away my confusion.
I'm sorry, the confusion will remain because this is one of those things where the dictionary says orig uncert.
Uncert, orig for loo.
Yes.
There you go. It just
but
sounds
they,
like.
They do say, some people think it comes from Waterloo, which, after all, you know, is a place where the battle was.
Yep.
Other people think that it might have come from a Scottish phrase, "Gardy Loo," which they used to shout as you opened your window and emptied your chamber pot on whatever was down below.
And the three-second warning.
Yes.
Yeah,
the third one is that in a number of French hotels, particularly in years gone by, the room number 100, which is 100, which looks like loo, was the loo. And so it could be any of these or none of them.
Yeah.
And it's one of the things like OK where we don't know for sure, but we have a good guess. So there you are. The loo, whatever, is my guess is that Gardy Loo is quite possibly the one.
That one sounds that it for some reason that was the one that got the ding, ding, ding going.
That's right.
And I do want to just note that the Lord of Language here before me, you opened that by saying no answer coming. And then provided three very, very, very good answers.
But I cannot give you a rationale why one of them should win over the others.
We'll go with the out of the window idea, because I wouldn't mind a little warning if that was happening every day.
Well, of course, in the olden days, I mean, London in the 17th, 18th century, and Edinburgh too, they didn't have any public sanitation.
Yeah.
There were no sewers, there were no drains, and anything that was in the street kind of stayed there until someone got a broom and moved it on, including a lot of horse manure and other things that were thrown. It stank. It was dreadful. No, they had cholera in London until 1850-something.
Until a date way later than you would think.
And they thought it came from bad air. Actually, malaria means bad air in Italian. And in fact, the source was they had a drinking well just about next door to a cesspool where they were putting all of what came out of the Gardiloo.
Goodness me.
And when they'd worked that out at last, a man called Snow did the science and found out what was going on. They had a whole series of enormous series of sewers built in London, and the place was thereafter pretty well free of cholera entirely.
All of a sudden.
Yes.
A bit more fragrant in a good way. Thank you very, very much for that. That's fantastic. I want to say a big thank you to Luke for the question there. A lovely little rabbit hole or down the loo, you might even say, on that one with Rowley Sussex. It's 24 minutes past seven. Now, there was probably a time, Rowley, where loo, as an expression, was a neologism.
A neologism.
Neologism.
Yes.
Neologism.
Neolo, N-E-O-L-O-G-I-S-M. Neos is Greek for new, and logos is Greek word for word.
New word.
So a new word. And the problem with English nowadays is that probably 2 billion people worldwide speak English to some extent, and a lot of them are being very creative. English differs a lot from, shall we say, Chinese English, which is Chinglish, to Japlish in Japan, to Manglish in Malaysia, to Singlish in Singapore, and so on. And it is also the engine of the most important technology, and I think also the source, particularly in America and California and so on, San Fernando Valley, of a lot of the teen and internet slang, which gets around. So English is just a great big ferment. And when you look at the word neologism, you think, a really new word? How many really new words do we have? And I was reminded about Lewis Carroll and Jabberwocky. 'Twas brillig and the slithy toves did gyre and gimble in the wabe. All mimsy were the borogroves and the mome rats outgrabe. Wonderful stuff.
That's brilliant.
God knows what it means. But then there was, freddled grunt buggly. You know where this comes from? The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Bogon poetry. Thy micturations are to me as pluraled, purtled, global blotchets on a burgered bee. Blah, blah, blah. These are neologisms invented for the purpose.
I feel like we live in an age right now, the TikTok age, where neologisms are coming thick and fast, but a lot of them are just sort of mashups, or you're deriving something. You're not saying delirious, you're saying delulu, that kind of thing.
That's right. But the actual important word is deriving, because you can often, if you've got a kind of suspicious mind, you can work out that FOMO is fear of missing out, and LOL is lots of love.
Yeah.
Or RTFN, read the manual.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I love PEBKAC, PEBKAC, which is problem exists between keyboard and chair.
Yeah.
In other words, you, dear writer.
The contributor,
A lot of the other ones, sometimes, I mean, a computer mouse. 1963, Doug Engelbart, working in America, invented it. And he could have called it something like a computer screen addressing device, a CSAD, but CSAD is four letters, four syllables, whereas mouse is just one syllable. And it looked like a mouse. It was a little box with a sort of wire out the bottom.
Yeah.
And so this is a metaphor where you take a word from one area and apply it, and it's a wonderful way of being parsimonious about new words, because you've got, instead of having to learn a brand new word, which takes trouble and memory and people get it wrong and so on, you use a word with a familiar link, and that's what the computer asks. And people, by the way, say, it's in your DNA. Now, a lot of it simply is meaning, that's part of the way you're built, I suppose. Well, deoxyribonucleic acid, yes. But whether the actual, your sense of humour is in your DNA is, I think, yet to be proved.
Okay.
But
fascinating.
I have a lot of words which are newish.
Yeah.
And there's one particular character called blend, or portmanteau word. And blend is like smog, which is a mixture of smoke and fog. So you take a bit of one word, bit of the other bird, glue them together, and you've got a new one.
Yep.
But there's enough of the old one left to give you a kind of idea about what it might mean. You know, motel is a motor hotel, and so on. Now, your Finster is a fake Instagram account,
okay,
which you might have for the purposes of private messaging and so on. Or webinar was just a web seminar. That one's easy.
Mm-hmm.
But crowdfunding?
Yep.
All right. Hangry. I like hangry, which is a mixture of angry and hungry. You know, bad-tempered or irritable due to hunger.
I feel like we're at a point in time where people resort to saying hangry more than saying hungry now.
Sometimes these things get an enormous head of steam on and just run away. Staycation is when you have a vacation, staying at home.
Yep.
All right, okay. A bromance is a bro and romance, of course. And your frenemy is someone who is both a friend and enemy. Now, I've got probably another 30 or 40 of these. Glamping is glamorous camping.
Oh, yes, of course.
And a nepo baby is shorthand for if you're a child of someone who's very well positioned to get you a job.
Yes.
So okay. The nepotism plus baby, you're a nepo baby. And this is interesting because it's become almost the default way of making a new expression.
Yeah.
And particularly on the internet, you know, things like hashtag pop up and you need a word for it. Well, hash is the American word for the it's called an octothorpe by some other people. And tag is, you know, a name for something. So hashtag has now become absolutely standard. And, of course, on the internet you can unfriend people.
Yes.
But then you can also gaslight them.
Of course, yes.
Now, gaslighting was actually the name of a play in America about 1940-something, where a man treated his wife so dreadfully that she began to doubt her sanity. It's not nice.
Mm.
But then you've got catfishing.
Yes.
Where you pretend to be that which you are not.
Yes.
And even you've even got hat fishing, where men who are somewhat short in the hair department, like me, wear a hat to conceal the fact that they don't actually have a lot of locks underneath.
That's hat fishing.
That's hat fishing.
Hat
yes.
fishing. Okay, I hadn't heard that one. Hat fishing.
So the watch out for blends.
Yeah.
Typically, there are pieces of two words, and you can identify almost certainly the bits of one, and sometimes the bits of two.
Yeah.
Right, and they make lots. But then there are other ones like to troll someone. Now that is a verb,
mm-hmm.
meaning to persecute them, you know, someone who is being nasty to other people on the internet. Influencer.
Yep.
Now, we had influence, but we didn't really have influencer until more recently, which was invented. And then doom scrolling, where you persist on scrolling down through miserable material, which makes you feel even more miserable.
Those deep, dark rabbit holes that you fall... The influencer is interesting. So influence becoming an influencer. So before that, someone was just influential?
Yes.
Okay.
But I didn't think we had a... If there was a noun, and I suspect that the noun influencer is probably quite old.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we didn't use it very much until it actually had this internet and money-related thing where they can recommend a product or whatever, and that if you are a powerful influencer, you can make a lot of money out of this.
Yeah, okay.
There are lots more. I mean, a brain dump is when you get the contents of your head and sort of, you know, put it on paper or something for thinking about. Fishing with a PH is the PH is from phone and fishing is from fishing, but it now is people trying to extort money from you through various bad and nasty means.
Yep, yep, yep.
And particularly if they ever ask for your personal details or your password or whatever, run a mile, delete, and don't go near it.
There is a lot of phishing going on.
Incredible amount. And the trouble is that it's now being generated by AI as well.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure that I'm going to get some more. I get about one a day, even though my university filters most of the stuff out. And I think the people at my ITS department at UQ told me that out of 66 million emails incoming a month, about two-thirds is pornography, rubbish, violent, you know, stuff from the dark web.
Yeah.
Bad stuff that you don't want to see.
More than 40 million basically a month. Okay.
Which has to be intercepted and trashed at once.
Extraordinary.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think that Well, among the interesting ones, I've got another book which was published by Oxford in 2004, and it was the Oxford Book of New Words. I thought, oh, well, let's see, have a look. There are a number which didn't make it, which obviously were important then, but which are no longer really visible, like Ladette, L-A-D-E-T-T-E, which was an aggressive young female.
Okay.
A young lady.
Yeah.
Bed rot.
Bed rot.
To say in bed with a nibbles and a digital device to give you an excuse not to get up and do things.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, the expression of saying I'm just going to stay home and rot means I'm doing nothing at all.
Doing nothing,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, all right.
Mondo, teen slang meaning absolutely, utterly, extraordinarily or much.
Okay.
From the Italian word mondo, which means world in Italian.
Right.
And by the way, we now have Italian brain rot as well, which is a family of curious characters on the internet, which I won't go into. Rootsy of music, meaning down to earth.
Yes.
Do you ever hear it?
I feel like I have, but I didn't realise.
Vague memory.
Yeah. It's somewhere.
Kidult, which is
kidulting. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Program which is suitable for kids and adults.
Yeah.
And something which I think was maybe brought to Australia by the Royal House, naff off.
Naff off.
Which is not heard. It's basically get out of here, get lost.
Yeah.
And other rude words which we won't say.
Okay.
But it's certainly British, and yep. It was certainly first 10 years of this century. But I haven't heard it for 15 years maybe.
The next evolution of like a sod off?
Yes.
A bugger off?
Yes. Yes.
Is a naff off?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And you said a royal, as in...
It was reported to be one member of the Royal House who actually said it.
Really?
When in Australia. I don't know if that's true or not. We didn't really pick it up because we like our own versions.
Yeah.
And I'm inclined to approve because I get worried when good Australianisms like hooroo are getting elbowed out of the way by incoming Americanism.
Or getting naffed off, so to speak.
Yeah, well, yeah. But no, not any neologism will make it, as these ones show. And what the dictionary makers, you've got to be compassionate because they've got all of these new words and they've got nowadays through the web literally billions of words to look at.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, billions of quotations to look at. They have to work out, does this word have a stable meaning? Is it used by a significant number of people? And is it distributed around a reasonable area of the English-speaking world? You know, so having something which is just a piece of slang used by three kids in Coolparoo doesn't qualify for inclusion in the Oxford Dictionary.
Yeah, okay.
But a lot of the other stuff which Oxford pulled out, things like Laidette, I vaguely remember hearing it.
Laidette, I'm not as familiar, no. Laidette.
And it's just gone.
Okay.
One of these things which probably there was just not enough support for it in everyday usage, and it just quietly sank out of use. Others like hooroo have been around forever, but are vanishing because I think of imports, which are becoming more favoured.
Mm.
And the people who ring up this program almost always say hi, which is an Americanism.
Yep.
These things have been slowly working their way into our everyday language.
Graham from Lowood.
Yes.
We got some mail from Graham. Graham says Princess Anne threw naff off into our lives.
She did.
There you go. So appreciate that one, Graham. Rolly Sussex with you. 24 minutes to 8. I've got a number of questions here for you. Tamika has said Ladette is pronounced as lad, rhymes with tad.
Mm-hmm.
Et. There was a British show called Ladette to Lady in the 2010s. There you go. LOL, Andrew says LOL is laugh out loud. Yes, I had it applied to that. That was the old.
I was going for the old one, which is nice and
lots of love, like a sign off of absolutely.
Now laugh out loud is definitely it's actually the word has persisted.
Yeah.
LOL, it's an initialism because you pronounce the letters as letters.
Yeah, yeah.
But the old thing about lots of love is very much dates you. Well, I'm dated. There you go.
It's fantastic. So LOL, lots of love at the end of a letter, or I'm laughing very, very loud and enthusiastic.
Yes.
So look, both reasonably positive messages, I suppose.
And it's a bit like an emoji in some ways.
Yeah.
Because the reason we've got emojis is that texts like SMSs and emails and so on are not good at expressing emotion. And if you go out of your way to try and say, look, I'm really feeling good about this, you sound as if you're very fussy. Whereas bung in an emoji you know, and it means, you know, don't take this amiss. I'm actually feeling happy about this.
I'm doing okay as well.
Yeah. So that it's a Japanese invention, by the way. It means emotional picture.
Okay.
And it's something which has, and the Oxford English Dictionary declared the laughing with tears emoji to be the word of the year, I think in 2015, the word of the year. All right. So that it shows that the emojis are now a communicating thing on a par with regular words of English.
Wow.
Which is quite something.
That really is.
Also selfie, by the way, which was in its day was a neologism.
Yeah.
And it was an Australianism.
Okay.
Yeah.
So self-portrait is anywhere in those sort of origin stories
that's right.
for
yes,
selfies?
Right. It's absolutely true. Yeah, a young bloke got on the Terps a little bit, fell over, cracked his lip, went to hospital, was sewn up, and took a picture of himself and sent it to his mates as a selfie. And fairly quickly, it spread internationally, and everybody was trying selfies. You can even have belfies, which are made from behind and so on. You know. We won't go there.
The word approvers of the world have their work cut out for them, that's for sure. Now, St. John jumped on the phone, 1300 222 612 earlier. We were talking about sunbeam, the word sunbeam. You wanted to jump in on the sunbeam chat. St. John up, where are you? You're in Hayden, beautiful Hayden. Ah. Is sunbeam part of your life as well, mate?
It has been for 60 years.
Oh, terrific. We've got a date. Yep.
I make the most Madeira cake with four ingredients, which is butter, sugar, eggs and flour, and the mix master mixes it up and you do it further directions.
Yep, gets it done.
It is the most wonderful machine.
Yes.
And I also have a Sanyo fan from way back in 1970.
You're a hoarder, sir.
1970, wow.
Yes, but no, do keep that somebody because they were a feature of the kitchen.
Yeah. Yeah, and built to last.
Yes, and you can be a very serious cook with those devices. And it also had a very good bread dough hook, which would mix anything.
It also sounds a little bit like no excuses when you're using one. Things, you know,
yes.
They better be good.
Yeah, none of this sort of shrill whizzing.
I've got a Mark as well saying Sunbeam Expression was part of our lives as well. Will on the text line saying LOL lowercase is laugh out loud, LOL uppercase is lots of love. That's an interesting distinction from Will.
I haven't come across that one before because most of these things are now uppercase.
Okay.
Except that, of course, ever since the days of teletypes and so on, caps only was regarded as shouting and was rude.
Of course, flaming, we'd call it. Flaming.
Absolutely.
You're being flamed. Yeah, okay. One more for you. We'll wrap up in a sec. Rolly Sussex has been extraordinary as always tonight. Thank you very much for your time, Professor. Now, Gordon in Townsville. What is the correct pronunciation, I'm just going to throw out the one I know and hope it's right, of roulette?
It's roulette.
It's roulette.
Yes.
We're on roulette. We're good.
It's French.
Okay.
Yes. And comes from the casinos and so on, presumably of Monaco, I think. No, sorry, Monte Carlo.
Yeah, okay.
But I will put roulette on the...
It's on the list?
On the list.
Beautiful.
It might well come up with the Moulin Rouge and things like that.
beautiful, beautiful work. Rolly Sussex, always a privilege to share the air with you. Thank you very much for coming in.
I have a last word.
Yeah, please.
Bureaucrats cut red tape lengthwise.
Yeah, that resonates. Thank you very, very much.
Pleasure, Joel.
The ABC's Word Wizard. The Lord of Language. Professor Rolly Sussex with A Word in Your Ear.